Blog Talk Radio.
Believe everything the mainstream media tells you? We don't. We cover what mainstream doesn't.
Oops,
welcome to Beyond the Mainstream with Donnie C., Texas Bob, and Cinnamon. Tin hat not required. Call us with your opinion at 347-324-3752.
Well, well, well. I can't think of everything. How you doing, Scott? Hello, Scott. Testing 1-2. Scott, are you there? Hello, hello, hello. What happened to my switchboard? It disappeared. Well, that's interesting. We'll be right back with you as soon as I can find my switchboard. There it is. Let's try this again. Well, in the meantime, you're trying to listen to the UAW Factory Whistle Show. Scott, are you
Hello?
There? There you are.
Hello, can you hear me? There I am.
I hear you now. I don't know what happened unless you had your phone on mute.
Nope.
Nope.
That's okay.
Yeah, we're
That's
back.
Okay. Yeah. So, how are you doing today? You doing all right, I guess?
Yeah. Just fighting a cold, but other than that, just... Everything's good.
Well, that ain't good. That ain't good at all. It seems like a lot of people are being sick lately.
Yeah.
Just saying. I mean, we've had a lot of temps at work all week. Absenteeism, I think. Some of them are due to illness. There's limited overtime. They're asking a few people to come in and work over. Today, they worked a voluntary Sunday. I'm sure they went 9 hours.
Oh, you can bet they did, yes.
Well, they appear to be, I think with the Sunday, they're ahead of schedule now. It's getting interesting at work. They're having the team leaders do more and more paperwork. More process. Well, we don't deal with process. We deal with content. You know, we move things. We physically touch things. But management wants this done. It's going to make them run better. It doesn't make them run better.
No.
It's in my opinion, it's a waste of time. They've got the foreman scrambling doing so much more paperwork, and there's everything's getting to be new, and it's the same old BS, just a lot more BS with a new name on it.
How are the team leaders doing this and doing their job? I'm sure a lot of team leaders are on a job as it is, covering somebody else.
Yes, and they addressed that at the last union meeting. That they have stressed management that you cannot be utilizing the team leaders to cover your absences. This is happening. We're having a lot of team leaders are covering absences. Team leaders are also having to train, which is part of our job, but we have to train temporaries. And some of the temporaries, you know, we might not have seen for 2 weeks.
Right.
And then you expect them to come in and do a job that they only did part of for a day or two, and you expect them to do it. So, I mean, I think it's an unrealistic expectation to put that kind of back on the team leaders. This last week, we actually had the foreman helping out on a job because people were busy. All team leaders were busy. There's nobody else to go to. So, interesting predicament to be in, and I can say at least the foreman that we have at the time was willing to help out, which was a good thing. You know, we've got a new system on our mobile equipment now. It's called telemetry. And You have to put your badge on it to activate it. Beginning of the shift, once you activate it, you have 20 minutes to do your pre-op. It's an electronic pre-op, and you have 20 minutes to do that. If you answer a question wrong by mistake, it could potentially lock that unit down so that you cannot use it. And at that time, then either the foreman, somebody who has, they call a MasterCard, would have to come by and put their badge up that to unlock that to remedy whatever the problem was so the person could get going again. And they're starting to do that. Now they're wanting to put people on notice for not doing the pre-ops right.
Now, who does that? Is it only for the team leaders?
No. Anybody on a mobile equipment now has to do a electronic pre-op.
Well, what kind of questions do you have to answer?
Well, it asks you if your brakes are working, if your horn is working, if your labels are in place. If you're on a fork truck, it asks, the condition of the forks, the condition of the mast, the hoses, oil leaks. Is your battery cable hanging out? Is your battery water tube, your hose, is that okay and in place? And is your charger working okay? And, if you accidentally hit brakes and you hit no by mistake and hit enter, and you don't go back and erase that, you can go back. You can hit an escape button, and it'll go back question. It takes about a minute and a half to do this. I mean, to do it right. And
sounds like somebody management made themselves. Yeah.
Yeah. And what happens is we've had some people driving down the main aisle, the L aisle there along the body shop.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side of the train welder. And people were driving down the L aisle and their truck just quit running. Just stopped, locked them out. And of course, management says, oh, that's your fault. And then it happened again. And then it happened again up on the second floor. And then, of course, those team leaders saying, hey, that can't be everybody's fault all at one time like that. And then we also had the unit, I guess you could say, which is connected somewhere so GM management can monitor these. Something happened and a bunch of trucks went down at one time altogether. So I don't know what happened with that. And that was the four trucks did it one time. And then a couple days later than that, the tuggers all died. So they were scrambling, all these supervisors scrambling to go and unlock everybody's truck.
Jeez.
Now, with this being said, what this telemetry does is it's hooked to a GPS. It can track that unit anywhere inside the plant. It can monitor how long you've been moving, how long you've been moving, where you've been moving to, going back and from to. It's Big Brother. Ironically, that's what you call it, Big Brother, literally setting on your vehicle with you. If you set for more than 20 minutes, you have to reactivate it. You don't have to do your pre-op once, but you have to reactivate it. You can put it to a sleep mode for 30 minutes for like lunch. But this is some of the tools that they've decided to use. And I found other facilities have had this, and they have removed it because it had no value added. In other words, I think what we're starting to see is it's more trouble than what it's worth.
Right.
But I'm sure they paid hundreds of millions of dollars for this because we're not the only facility using this. Created quite a hassle.
Well, it's nice to know that General Motors still hasn't lost their touch of wasting money.
Oh, absolutely. And well, excuse my French, but pissing people off, too. Not just the drivers and the team leaders and even the supervisors, but you manage to piss off the people down in truck repair because they told them initially they were going to put these units on, and then they said, no, you're not. They brought the company representatives in, and I guess they put them on and hooked them up to the trucks, which I don't know where their union was on this whole thing. I know they're part of the UAW, but I know they're not really under our local. They are, I think, because they're considered an Aramark. With that being said, I don't know what will happen with that.
Hold on just a second. By the way, we're scheduled for 1 hour tonight, but if you need to go longer, Scott, I can change that.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, finish my thought. Now, when you upset your truck repair people, what happens when you upset truck repair people?
Know exactly what happens.
And what happened was just that. We started taking machines down, you know, the equipment to be repaired, fixed, whatever, you know.
Right.
Whatever the problem was, it was on repair. And they started to back up.
Well, I bet they did.
And, well, when they started a third row, which is only two rows, when they started a third row, somebody had to step in. Yeah. Somebody had to step in and get involved because we was running out of equipment to run the business.
I don't think I've seen it that bad before. That's pretty good.
It got that bad.
Wow.
So,
yeah, you do not want to upset the people that keep you in business.
No, not a good thing at all. Mm-hmm. I wish I could give you a better update as far as what happens to that young lady that got hurt at the plant last week.
Right.
I did talk to a union person.
Right.
Thursday and asked them how she was doing. And he told me they didn't know. I says, what do you mean you don't know?
They didn't know?
He says, everybody has tried. Of course, your committeeman has tried. He says, even the shop chairman has tried. She's not answering her phone. I says, well, somebody from the corporation must know that she's their employee and she got hurt on company time doing her job. And again, he says, she's not answering her phone. He said, the best answer he gave me was they did move her to a hospital closer to her home, which did kind of make sense.
Where did they take her?
I believe they took her to Hurley.
Oh, she's not from the
trauma. No, she's north. So I guess they took her. I'm trying to think of the hospital that's in Saginaw. Is that Covenant?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah, they took her. They took her to a hospital north, so she's closer to her family and stuff. And I would imagine the old phrase lawyering up comes to mind. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Lawyering up. So maybe that's why she's not answering her phone calls. Maybe she's been advised not to answer phone calls.
I heard that thing pretty bad.
She was pinned for greater than 5 minutes, but less than 10. They did put a tourniquet on her leg when they had to pull the units apart, just in case, you know, because you don't know how bad it is.
Right.
And they got her out, and like I said, they were trying to save her foot. And, of course, you know, all you hear is the rumors inside the plant. So if you listen to one rumor, I know that they did put a pin in. They did pin her leg and do like a halo. They're trying to keep the foot. They're trying to keep circulation going. If you hear one person tell you she kept her foot, and then you hear another rumor, no, they amputated her foot. So I don't know.
Well,
all I could do is hope she's okay.
Yeah.
I guess in today's age, with the things the way they are, I would highly recommend that she would have went and got a lawyer. So I'm just saying.
Yeah, that ramp is dangerous. You know, if we're talking about the same ramp, is that the ramp by my old job coming downstairs?
No.
Oh, okay. Boy, they get going up, coming down that ramp, and I've seen people without brakes. They've lost their brakes coming down that ramp, and man, they are.
This is
blowing the horn.
Great.
Get everybody out of the way.
Oh yeah. Especially if you're in a big unit, you can
right.
do a lot of damage.
Well, you're damn right.
You know. I mean, you could be picking up, you could be doing 35, 40 miles an hour by the time you got to the bottom of that ramp, depending on what you're in.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the ramp that she was at was the ramp that they took the Lubix up and down.
Mm.
That was at the end of the body shop.
Yeah, I know where you're at.
Okay. On the right-hand side of truck repair, that great big ramp there. That was the one.
Oh, yeah. So,
yeah. A big ramp. It's a pretty good grade, too.
Yeah, it is.
But, well, that's what happened, and that's, I mean, I can say that our guys, I guess, are trying to do what they can do, trying to get information, but, you know, nobody wants to call and talk to you. You know, nobody's going to call and talk to you, so I guess that's,
it sounds like,
you know,
it's pretty bad shape. I don't think answering the phone would be her top priority.
Well, you know, and that's another train of thought. You know, maybe the lady's in pain, or they're trying to figure out stuff, and, you know, other than talking to family members, that's probably not her high priority.
Right.
You know. So, you know, I mean, you know, you've got somebody that's, I would imagine, under the age of 50, and they're concerned about keeping their foot or part of their leg on their body. You know, answering somebody else's phone call that I don't really want to talk to right now isn't going to be one of my big concerns. You know, talking to mom, dad, brother, sister, kids, husband, you know, that might be as far as she's going with it. I don't know. But I can say people have tried to, you know, reach out to her to get some information. And she's probably been told, talk to anybody. Would be my guess. Just saying.
It could be. Could be.
Yeah. This Sunday that they had to work to get caught up. I'm starting to see, from what I can tell, and just my opinion, I'm not a professional at this, I'm just starting to see a pattern of more and more temporaries working more than just 2 days a week or just Saturday. What I'm seeing is that they're utilizing these temporaries, and I understand management has the right job placement, but we also have a 71 sheet, and we have a local agreement. It's a living agreement, but it's a local agreement. And what we're seeing is that they have found a way of cutting down the overtime by using the seniority workers, by instead using, opting to use the temporaries. That's going to be a real big problem here real soon. You know, there are people who have went into the hourly communication channel, as they call it. That's the HCC, where you have to go online to ask for Saturdays off. It's also where you have to apply to, for your vacation time for the year off. And there's a lot of individuals who have went in and have put in for a lot of Saturdays off because they want to work them. But these individuals are also people who would work, let's say, Monday through Friday. You know, come in 4 hours early or maybe stay over 4 hours.
Right.
And now that overtime is drying up, so to say, and we haven't even got into the warm weather. And you know what happens when we get to warm weather. A lot of people are missing.
Right.
They're using more and more of these temporaries. And the people who would normally work over are starting to get a real sour attitude towards helping out. Yeah, they did make some extra money on this, but they're getting to the point to where if you're screwed over, they're just not going to work at all. Thing is starting to backfire already. That's just my opinion, but I'm just saying it's starting to backfire already. These poor temporaries would love to be in there working 40 hours a week. They'd love to be hired. They're asking, I've heard them ask management, would you hire me?
Mm.
I'm like, I can't hire you. But yet they're evaluating them and they're, you know, doing what they can do. And most of these people will come in with the matter of a phone call and drop about whatever they're doing to come in to help out. So, position for somebody like me, or if you were still working, it's an awkward position for us to be in, to sit there and have to watch this go down.
Yeah.
And so if you guys are listening down in Detroit tomorrow morning, you guys should be real proud of yourself. You've just destroyed more human beings' lives. And there's nothing much we can do about it. So, okay, with that being said, I'm going to shift gears on you. You want to hear another rumor off the floor?
Why not?
Oh, you'll like this one. Now, you know that Lansing Delta is going to be laying off, right? Okay, they're losing the Arcadia is going to Spring Hill, Tennessee.
Spring Hill.
Which we know has, in their own piece of the contract, they have their own language for Spring Hill, Tennessee. And basically it says 75% of the workforce is going to be temporary.
Wow.
So this temporary thing is, yeah, this temporary thing is spreading just astonishingly big. It's getting huge.
Very
well. And so what the rumor is, and I asked an elected official, and I was told, I haven't heard that. That's all I'd say. I haven't heard that. Is that we're going to lay off the temporaries that we have, including the temporaries that we just got from Metalfab, who come over. We're going to lay all the temporaries off, and we're going to absorb anybody who wants to come from Lansing Delta to our plant. They'll be given a temporary status. They'll still make their wage that they're making, but they'll be at our plant temporarily. That way they can flow somewhere else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If another plant hiring, they want to go to it. They won't be a permanent employee. I'm sure you know as well as I do. If you've got people in that plant for 5 days a week, doing a job, there's no reason why you can't hire them, because evidently you need them. And they're going to be bringing a bunch of people in, from what I'm hearing, from Lansing Delta. I don't know about Lansing Grand River. They just they just had a big layoff too. I think it's I want to say March 30th. I don't have a calendar handy, but I want to say March 30th or somewhere in that time frame is when they'll start moving some people. And I think it's May, which is just over a month away. They'll have officially they will have lost that whole shift over there at Lansing Delta Township. So there's people who are still trying to move around under Appendix A language, you know, get home, get closer to home or your home plant or stuff like that. And I don't know how that's going to upset that apple cart. So, I just don't know. I haven't figured out what the reason was to move the Arcadia out of Lansing and put that to Spring Hill. We know Spring Hill has been given some work the last 2 years. They've been awarded jobs. You know that Lordstown lost a shift due to some production being moved to Mexico, right?
Mm-hmm.
That caused that big layoff. Yeah. We know that we were going to get some extra work at the truck plant, and Fort Wayne was probably going to pick up some extra work. That's kind of on hold because I believe that Canada got awarded that light-duty truck work that left out of Mexico. Excuse me. So it's a lot of movement, and my neighbor down the road is telling me that they're going to be laying off, I want to say 360 people out of Metal Fab in the next couple weeks because of car sales being down. So where do them people get to go?
You would think, right?
I would think.
But
well,
that don't make sense. General Motors hasn't made sense in a long time.
Right. Yeah, and there's a reason for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, other than that, I don't know what's going on. I mean, I don't know. All these facilities have all these temporaries now, and GM's just giddy about all the money they're saving. You know, their stock has went up. Their stock went up when they announced that they were getting rid of, you know, the European arm, which I think since 1999, or maybe it was 2009, I don't know, they've lost like $20 billion in Europe alone. And, of course, if the American workers end up paying this ultimate price, and the workers, all because the board of directors didn't do their job. You know, that's the board of directors' job to for the company to do well, prosper, so that the shareholders get good dividends. And, you know, we've known for quite some time they've been bleeding heavily out at Europe. And, you know, same people who were in charge of when Bob Wagner got fired, you know, from the then President Obama, who literally fired him. And for all the billions of dollars that he'd lost in 3 to 5 years. And my question again was, where was the board of directors? They knew what was going on. Why didn't they step in and do something? That was their duty to the shareholders. Where was our UAW? Because that's their duty to represent the members and to help us out and help protect our jobs. And they didn't do that either. So, interesting situation that plays out in Europe. It's going to happen. They reduced the price for Peugeot, I guess, to buy up Opel. From the article I've seen, they're going to maintain the current workforce. But we know how that plays out. They say it up front, and then, you know, a few months down the road, you know, they have to make adjustments. They call them adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know what adjustments mean. It ends up meaning layoffs. And some of these people would never be back again. But that's what that is. But this last week was interesting in the automotive industry because old Sergio is just pushing for somebody to merge with Fiat Chrysler America.
Yes.
What's that?
Yeah, I've seen that.
He's pushed it. Volkswagen and Volkswagen come back and very clearly and told them that they have no interest in merging with them. They're going through their own thing right now, and that's not going to happen. So, of course, he come back and he pushed her again, and he said that there's still that thing that General Motors could merge with, you know, or basically absorb FCA. And I don't know. I don't know how that's a problem. I'm going to tell you what. Sergio is, you know, he's pushing this thing hard. He really is.
He doesn't give
Volkswagen come. No. I mean, Volkswagen was, you know, the CEO for Volkswagen, you know, come around and said, no. Just, you know, we got other problems, period, you know. We're not going to talk to you about that. Man, I'm going to tell you what, he just keeps pushing back at General Motors, and I don't know what's going to happen. It's interesting because they're hurting right now. Chrysler's hurting right now, and Chrysler does have some decent brands, you know. I mean, the Chrysler cars kind of hurting a little bit. But the Dodge department, you know, you've got the Challenger, the Charger. You've got, of course, you got the Ram trucks. And then, of course, you got Jeep, which are all in problems right now. Car sales are down for everybody, period. But there seems to be some truck issues going on right now with Marchionne, and the problem that with Marchionne that I could tell is the reason that nobody is willing to discuss any kind of anything with Marchionne is because right now he's in the middle of restructuring. He's restructuring some plants like that one down by Bryan, what they call that chap, Sterling Heights. they're redoing the Toledo plant. I mean, you're doing some major overhauls at some pretty big facilities, and you're doing it all at once. In the meantime, you're under a federal investigation for your emissions, and probably more, I imagine. You're having a hard time with your Fiat brand. I read an article somewhere this last week that you could go rent 500E, which I think is electric, for $69 a month.
$69 a month.
So, yeah, you can go rent a brand new electric car from Fiat cheaper than what a lot of people are paying for their cell phone bill in a month.
Yeah.
The article, if I remember right, the article said they're losing at least $14,000 on every one of these. And that's the only way they can recover some money with to try to do a lease program on them to save some money out of it.
yeah, that's cheap.
I feel bad for the workers. Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, less than $70 a month. You can rent an electric vehicle. Yeah, it's not very big, but still, you know. I don't know if you can lease a vault or not, can you?
I don't know. That's a question. I don't know. I never thought about it.
They know. I'm trying to think. I don't think anybody will let you lease an electric vehicle. I think you have to buy them, don't you? Well, I'll look into that. I'll get back to you on that next week. Good question, because, we know General Motors hasn't been doing real well with the Volt sales. Maybe they might be joining Sergio and, start leasing their electric vehicle.
I don't think
they qualify for the
$69 deal. I don't think they go that low.
Well, if all they're doing is just sitting there collecting dust and dirt on the lot,
yeah,
would it be cheaper to write them off?
Good question. I don't know, but I feel for the workers in all these car plants. That's been an up and down battle, trying to stay working in the same plant without getting laid off. Since hired in, it's just an up and down thing. It was the trucks. I told everybody that was transferring or trying to get to Lansing. I said, no, man, you got to stay right here where this pickup truck is.
Right.
We got a caller, Scott. Let me get the caller on 219 area code. You're on.
Hey guys, it's Scott Holdison. How you doing?
Hey, Scott, how you doing?
All right, but I got an answer for you.
Wow, okay.
The lease of the Volt, one of my favorite radio personalities on WCPT here in Chicago. You can catch him online at the Norman Goldman Show.
Oh, yeah.
Monday through Friday. Norman is bragging about leasing a Volt, and he's thrilled that it's UAW made. And I actually called into the show and thanked him for doing that.
Hey, that's really nice. Wow. He asked a question, Scott, and you get an answer.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you, Scott. I appreciate that. And that's awesome that this guy has decided to lease an American-made, union-made vehicle.
Yeah.
Yep. He's adamant about going green and taking the power away from the oil companies. And this is one part of the effort to take back the upper hand when it comes to dealing with the oil companies, and doing it by supporting good paying union jobs for the most part.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, good.
That's outstanding.
Does Ford has an electric vehicle also, right?
Yeah, we've got electric. It's called the C-Max. I believe it's still made at Michigan Assembly, but they were talking about moving it to Mexico, but I think they changed their mind.
Right. Oh, good. And then is there a Fusion or one of the smaller cars? Don't they also have an electric version of that? Or is it just a C-Max?
I'm not sure. There might be a Focus version.
Okay.
Which is okay. Also made in Michigan Assembly Plant.
Right. Awesome. Well, I know Chrysler's working on a couple of different, units. And, of course, all the Japanese have multiple vehicles now, whether it's their high-end brands like, Lexus or Infiniti. One more I'm missing. And, of course, all the Europeans have a version of a electric vehicle now. I don't know if Porsche does yet or not, but I know Volkswagen does. It's working on one. I know that Mercedes-Benz has one. BMW, I think, has one. So, I mean, they're all pushing, you know, towards an electric vehicle somewhere, aren't they?
Or at least a better fuel economy vehicle. You know, that, I mean, we're expanding. Ford is supposed to be expanding our not only the all electric, but also the hybrid capabilities of our vehicles in the next few years. So, and you know, that's the way it has to go if we're going to take the impetus away from the fossil fuel companies.
Right. Ford Fusion does have, for 2017, Ford does have a hybrid Fusion.
They've had a hybrid Fusion for a long time. They used to have a hybrid Escape, but then they went to the C-Max with a hybrid, and I believe they have an all electric C-Max as well.
Right. Okay. Okay. Well,
I actually have a hybrid Escape along with my Explorer.
Really?
Yeah.
And do you like it?
Yeah, I like it. The Explorer has more bells and whistles, so it's more fun to drive, and I drive it more often. But I definitely like the hybrid. I like being able to make trips around town and see how little I can use the gas engine. You really have to go slow in that car to keep the gas engine from kicking in, though.
Ah, gotcha. They do have a 2017 Ford Focus Electric. You get 100-mile range on the battery only. They start out at 29,000. The charge time is 20 hours at 110 and 3.5 hours at 220.
Well, 220 is the way to go for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. They also have the C-Max you talked about. They have the Fusion Hybrid. They have one that's called the Fusion Energy. Never heard of that one, but and then they have the Ford Focus Electric. So, they're there. Ford has them. So that's an opportunity that, an availability that you give a car buyer that might be interested in going more green. So that's cool. I know some of the trucks are also hybrid. We'll have trucks for Ford, Chrysler, and Chevrolet were also set up for the flex fuel, which isn't doing as well as they had anticipated. You know, the ethanol?
Right, right.
I mean, I can't remember which one. There's still two gas stations somewhere around the Flint area where you can get this gas. I think it's like about $1.75, $1.85 a gallon. I think that's mostly ethanol. Definitely, corn, a corn byproduct. I talk to people who are using it, and they actually get worse gas mileage on it. So it's kind of a wash for going with a cheaper fuel source, but you're losing miles per gallon on it.
Right, right.
So, plus, if you have an older vehicle, you can't run that, because if you do, you'll eat your gas lines up. So, that vehicle you're driving has to be equipped for that. But, that's awesome. It'd
be great to see them develop plant-based fuel that isn't also a food source.
Right, right.
Like maybe hemp or something.
Hey, that's an awesome idea. Hemp has had so many different uses through the years, and we're not just talking about, just marijuana. We're talking about non-medicinal hemp plants. for those that are old enough, like, I don't know if you are, but I know Don and I are, old enough to remember the old one-inch gym ropes that we had when we were in elementary school.
Uh-huh.
Those were hemp ropes, and they were strong. They were very strong. I mean, clothes, paper, there's so many different uses for hemp. It's amazing. You can grow a couple acres, or I think it's 5 acres of hemp will equal out a full acre of full-grown trees for paper making.
Industrial hemp doesn't have a THC level that is even worth talking about. So it's really a travesty the way that for years and years and years our government hasn't allowed the production of hemp, and it has to do with insider influence in the fossil fuel industry and some of the farmers would love to be able to grow it and make money off of it.
Well, sure. I mean, there's some of these poor people that, they've lost their farms because the subsidies the government set up on them, that it's cheaper for them not to raise a crop. And
I've seen stories that the Henry Ford's Model T's could run on hemp made style ethanol.
Really?
I'm sure I saw it on before now. I saw it on the internet, so you can't believe everything that's on the internet. But why
right.
lie about that?
Right. Because back in the day, when they was using this hemp, they used to grow it, huge farms of it, for all sorts of purposes. And I'm sure the way you can make an oil out of that, and a byproduct of oil, I'm sure there's a way you can make a fuel source out of it.
Yep.
They stopped using hemp because they make clothes, so that hurt the cotton industry. There's a whole bunch of your pharmaceuticals didn't want it, and then the textile, they didn't want it. So they got, it's a terrible, terrible drug. But they put clothes into a dryer. Same type of clothes. One was cotton, one was some were hemp, made with hemp, and the lint, there was no lint at all, none at all. But you took the cotton, the lint from the cotton, when they were drying that, it was just full of lint.
Really?
Your clothes lasted forever back in those days. My dad talked about that back then. He said I couldn't understand it. You couldn't buy, he was a farmer, for anything else in Alabama, that you could buy a pair of overalls down there that would last forever, and then they stopped making them, and he said you just go through a pair every month or so.
Right.
There's a reason.
Well,
it's all about
Levi's used to be good.
Yeah, it's just all about money is all it is.
Yeah, it's sad. It is. I don't know. If I remember right, didn't Levi's used to be made in Kentucky? Wasn't that where the Levi's plant was at?
I believe it was in San Francisco, California. There may have been plants in Kentucky as well, but that was their home location. And, of course, then they went the same route as most others. But you can still buy American-made blue jeans.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're not cheap, though.
Well, no, I don't know. I get mine from All American Clothing Company, allamericanclothing.com, and they're about, I don't know, about $40 there.
Well, that ain't bad.
I can't complain about that.
No, no. I've seen some other ones that were American made and Union made on top of that, and they were about $50 and $55 a pair.
Yep.
But
you know, you got your exclusive brands, you know, that they carry at Lord and Taylor or whatever that you know, run a couple $300 a pair, but you know, you can get American-made blue jeans for a reasonable price. Just got to know where to look.
Yeah, that's reasonable because shopping.
The damn sure ain't at Walmart.
No. I mean, even Levi, you know, on top of being made in Vietnam, Mexico, I'm trying to think of all the places they make Levi's now. They've had to cheapen it down. They went to what they called the Levi Signature. So now you can buy it at Myers and Walmart and other, you know, bigger box stores. And they are by far, we got a pair at a garage sale. And I get paid $1 for them. They've never been worn. I don't think I got a decent 4 months out of them. The denim is thin. They're not really well made jeans at all, and you're the second person that's told me about the All American Clothing. So
yeah, I get mine from All American Clothing, and you can get a leather belt patch on the back, you know, that you loop your belt through with the UAW logo on it. I've got several of those.
Wow. That'd be kind of cool, I guess, you know.
Terry DeVias wrote that Levi's main plant was in Macon, Georgia, and he knew somebody that worked there.
Oh, okay.
So, he just, I am me.
Wow, yeah.
Thank you, Terry.
Thanks, Terry. I remember Scott talking about that. It was founded in San Francisco, and then when the big fire wiped out part of San Francisco, they rebuilt. And then I think he expanded, they said, a couple different places for production. But, the Levi jeans that we grew up with aren't like that no more. And like I said, we have to go to All American, you know, All American, was it allamerican.com?
AllAmericanClothing.com.
AllAmericanClothing.com if you want to find some decent made clothes, I guess. So there's your free plug, I guess, you know. But it is what it is. I mean, we're just all the stuff going on. We're talking about, you know, vehicles and getting clothes. And back to vehicles, talking about the electric vehicle. And this last week, Automotive News come out, and they said that the American auto manufacturers aren't doing so well. Our fuel economy for the vehicles sold in February was flat. They said the average is 25.1. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with this new president. All I know is under the old president and the old EPA that I want to say by 2025, by 8 years from now, they wanted the average fuel economy to be somewhere around 40 to 50 gallons, miles per gallon, which you know as well as I know that that's unrealistic. Industry's a little flat on the MPG right now. Oh. You still there?
Yeah.
We're
all here.
Okay. Well, I mean, you drive a truck, right, Scott?
I drive an Explorer and a hybrid Escape.
Okay, an Explorer. Okay, now I drive a truck, and Don drives a big SUV. I mean, I'd love for our vehicles to get 40 miles per gallon. How about you, Don?
Yeah, that would be sweet. At Suburban,
you know,
I would love to see that get 40 miles a gallon.
You know, or even 30. How's that?
Buddy,
you know?
I'd take 25 and smile.
25 and smile?
Bet.
Well, we're talking average fuel economy, so you know, not every vehicle sold, although most sold are trucks and SUVs. That's where they're making their money. But we all know what happened in 2007. You know, the gas prices spiked, went up around $5 a gallon. And what happened to the sales of trucks and SUVs then?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what's to prevent that from happening again? We need to be forward thinking here, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. But you always need a pickup truck somewhere. And, you know, whether it's a Ford 250 or 350 Super Duty, or, you know, it's a, you know, a Chevy or a big Dodge Ram, you know, as long as people have, like, fifth wheels and gooseneck trailers and double axle trailers and have to have, you know, big stuff moved around, big equipment moved around with a truck, you know,
right,
that's your choice.
When gas hits $5 a gallon, they're leaving those fifth wheels parked in the driveway or in the campgrounds. They're not moving them around.
Yep. No.
Nope.
You're right.
You're right. Every time that gas goes up and that diesel goes up, it seems like the cost of doing business with anything with heavier equipment skyrockets. And in turn, like you said, we're not forward thinking. It affects everybody. It doesn't take long. So, and I'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's the real trickle down when the factories stop putting out because the customers stop buying. That's what trickle down really is. And you see
right.
you see how
yeah.
it affects the communities. You see how it affects all the small restaurants in the neighborhood and all the communities, the you know, the small clothing stores that are left in our communities, they all get affected adversely by that downturn and by that lack of forward thinking.
Yep. You're right. It's it's just like these union jobs. People don't understand how important it is to have unionized workers in your community and around you somewhere, because they literally help bring that standard of living up. And if for whatever reason we don't seem to be getting any help from our leadership from the UAW to help our own communities that we live in, by helping with our wages. Instead, they give us, you know, tier 2, 3, 4, 5. And as I said earlier in the show, some of these temporaries, they're asking to be hired. They'd love to come to work for $15 and some change an hour or $16 an hour. They'd love to come to work for that. But it's advantageous for the employer to keep them in that temporary status, so they save more money. And
yeah, that's why it's important to be standing behind the people that are on the front lines of the labor movement right now. You know, our wages have been stagnating for years for the most part. And
mm-hmm.
you know, the people that are fighting for $15 an hour in the union, you know, people bellyache about fast food workers. Oh, that's a high school kid's job. Well, guess what? Not anymore. not in this economy. No. Because as automation takes more and more of the jobs away, that's where the jobs are left is in the service industry. By by helping those folks get what they're fighting for, we have an upward pressure on our own wages. And people just don't seem to understand that. They think that that's going to have them pay $5 extra for a hamburger. Well, that's not the case.
Right. Right. Yeah. Because of the savings on labor going to the automated systems they've got, they'll recover the price on those. And then there are places, like you said, that are hiring people to work at the fast food sector that are making $15, $16 an hour, making the same wages as the temporaries are at General Motors, Ford, Chrysler.
Well, there aren't that many that are there yet, but as more and more get to that level in the in other industries, that gives workers options. And when workers have options, if Ford, GM, or Chrysler want to maintain their workers, want to keep their workers coming to work, then they're going to have to raise the wages. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, if you can. I'm not saying people in fast food industries don't work hard, because they do, especially, I've worked in that industry before. And when there's, when there's times when there's a rush and it's, very hectic. But, it still is a lot of ways, a less stressful job on your body than the assembly line, for sure.
Well, absolutely. I mean, without a doubt. I mean, anybody who's set out there and has had to, hump the line, they understand. It's busy, hectic at the locations. Like I said, when you work in a fast food joint, but when you're humping that line, it's really rough on your body.
So the bottom line is we can help ourselves by helping our brothers and sisters in the other sectors of the labor movement.
Correct.
Yeah, more options. They're making pretty much what, temporary and plants. That makes more options for a lot of things. And that's just going to help all the workers.
Well, on top of helping the workers, we still haven't looked at how many of the people are unionized or aren't unionized, and I don't think not many of the food services are unionized, are they? The drivers are, like for Pepsi and Coke. I mean, those guys, I think, are under Teamsters or the Food Workers Union of America or whatever it is, but I don't think, like Burger King and Pizza Hut, McDonald's, KFC, I don't think none of these people belong to unions, do they?
Not yet.
No.
Not yet. That's SEIU has been working with them to try and help them, get a better wage and a union.
Right. Right. And then, like I said, you just have to watch the employer, how they've done the last few years, what's their bottom line. And just like us, we're generating billions of dollars of profit for the corporation, and they don't want to seem to recognize that it's the people who've made that money for them. They think it's all their great decisions they've made, but it's really not. I'm just, I think the number I had a couple years ago was that the amount of employees at General Motors. What's that?
Oh, sorry. I was talking to my wife for a second.
I used the example a couple years ago. At that time, at contract time, General Motors had 52,000 employees. They did, they made basically $60 billion before taxes. So that's the number I used, was the big number in North American operations. Now, if you break that down, you know, divide that by the employees, that was between $1.1 and $1.2 million that every employee generated. But not every one of those employees was a seniority worker. Some of these people, you know, 25% of them at that time were temporary workers. Same thing with at Ford. If you did the same equation with Ford, I'm sure it'd be real close to, you know, that mark. And that's, and then to have somebody that for a meaningful, a living wage, something I can live on, they act like you're pulling teeth with channel locks, you know, crazy. So, I don't know. I don't know where we're at with this. All I know is we got more layoffs here locally in Michigan due with the moving around of products from we're losing the GM Acadia in May. That's going down to Spring Hill, Tennessee. I don't know. Ford's not moving a whole lot of stuff. They're actually bringing stuff back, right? To the United States? That's a win-win situation for everybody.
Moving of products to the South, Southern United States was how Trump had suggested that the auto companies lower their wages, go to the non-union states, the right-to-work states. Of course, now Michigan's a right-to-work state, but we have a strong union tradition in Michigan, whereas there's not a strong union tradition in much of the Deep South. That was Trump's suggestion. He was saying instead of moving to Mexico, move your plant to Alabama.
Right. That was
now the Republicans that was in the lead during the primary season. But now the Republicans in the House of Representatives are introducing a national right to work legislation. And then Senator Jeff Flake, what a good name for him.
Right.
The junior senator from Arizona, he introduced a repeal of the Davis-Bacon Act, which required prevailing wages to be paid on federal highway projects. So they want to...
Right.
Yeah, they don't want to pay union wages on federal highway projects anymore. They want to, further race to the bottom.
Right. Right. Well, people all understand that the prevailing wage on, your bridge builders, the steel workers, the people you have building the bridges over certain highways or rivers or gorges or whatever, most of the time those workers are unionized workers. And those union workers come in, they bid a job at a price that includes their unionized wages. And they're saying they can shop outside of that scope and get somebody to build, I'm going to say, supposedly a safe bridge. Because a lot of times the non-unionized people who build bridges don't have the experience that a lot of the unionized workers do have.
Well, unionized workers have to go through a 4-year apprenticeship. Non-unionized workers don't. They don't have to get the class hours. They don't have to get the hands-on training from a journeyman. They just get a sack of tools and go at it. And best of luck for that holding up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's getting bad. I mean, there's a couple of things that are happening out here that just make a lot of people cringe. Here's one that just got me. This was posted out yesterday, that they have a little bill that's moving through Congress that would allow companies to require employees to undergo genetic testing or risk paying a penalty of thousands of dollars that would let employers see the genetic and other health information. Okay, right now,
oh,
that's
is that
prohibited.
Part, is that part of Trump Care?
No. This there was a law that was put out in 2008 that had to do with genetic privacy and non-discrimination. The law was known as GINA, G-I-N-A. This new bill gets around that by stating explicitly that this GINA and other protections do not apply when genetic tests are part of a workplace wellness program. And the bill is H.R. 1313. It was approved by House Committee on Wednesday with all 22 Republicans supporting it and 17 Democrats opposed it. It's been overshadowed by, of course, the repeal and replace. So,
wow, that's,
still there,
that's the first I've heard of that, but that's really scary stuff. How is a genetic test a wellness? You know, I can see, you know, having non-smoking, testing you for smoking or whatever, if they think you've been smoking and you're lying about it. But a genetic test tells them what your predisposition, easy for you guys to say, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Predisposition.
Yes.
You know, for genetically. That has nothing to do with a healthy lifestyle.
No, it don't. And the thing that's getting me is workplace wellness. Well, here this last week, I don't know about your facility, but at our facility, there is a workplace wellness program, and it's endorsed by the UAW. And this last week, they've been putting out a questionnaire on how to expand this and make this even bigger. It's called Life Steps. I don't know if you have that at your facility or not. But the UAW has endorsed this. What's that?
No, I haven't. Oh. I haven't heard of it at our facility.
Okay, well, it's called Life Steps. I think Don remembers it when he was working at the plant.
They gave me a monitor or something, you know, count your steps, because I walked so much on my job. They're the ones that gave me that. And I had to wear it for a week. And you walk a lot. I said, yeah, well, when did I wear this for? We just wanted to do a check. Well, thank you. I thought,
right.
Oh, they're actually going to...
So you
can
take a few of those steps off my job?
Yeah. I was averaging over 15 miles a day in that plant, and they just couldn't believe it.
Speaking of benefits, have you guys tried to use the legal service at all?
I had some friend use it. The old... I don't think she used this the way it is now, but she used it before. She had to have it redone by, she said, a real lawyer.
Yeah. Well, I ran into that under the old system, but at least you could get some kind of lawyer close by. You know, I called up to start the process of writing a will, and I live in Northwest Indiana, just outside of Chicago. And, the closest place I can go to get serviced is Kokomo.
Jeez.
Kokomo, Indiana. It's like a 3-hour drive.
Yeah.
I went there to pass out leaflets when Chrysler was having their ratification vote the first time, but I don't want to have to go there to see a lawyer.
Right.
Wow.
And my other options were Muncie, Indiana, and Indianapolis, Indiana. And actually, Indianapolis probably would have taken me less time to get there.
Wow. I have heard, I guess I could say this, that now that you talk about that, somebody at our facility here recently, within the last couple of weeks, investigated into that, and they, if I remember right, they said that we had to go to Portage, Michigan, which is just south of Kalamazoo, which is on the other side of the state, the west side of the state.
Portage?
Yeah, Kalamazoo would actually be closer for me than Kokomo.
Sure it would. Sure it would.
How did they change this legal stuff? Because that's a total different system than they had before then.
Oh, it is. And it's combined with all three of the Detroit three automakers, all the employees, both. I believe it's all the employees, both hourly and salary.
Oh, Jesus, that's yeah. I was wondering when you were saying you had to drive 3 hours. I'm going, why? Because it used to be, you know, you just go to Flint. Where I'm right outside of Flint. You worked in Flint. You just pick up the phone and there's a lawyer. You can see a lawyer right there in Flint, Michigan.
That's what they want you to do. They want you to pick up the phone and work it out over email and, you know, they don't want you to have face-to-face contact with your benefits.
No, they sure don't. Wow. Portage, Michigan.
That's correct because, and they're not offering the same amount of service that they offered before either. It's limited.
Oh, it is?
I don't think you can get one to go to court with you anymore.
Yeah, you can't get a referral to a cheaper lawyer. You know, as you said, you know, you had to go to a real lawyer. Well, you know, I got a referral before when I was doing a divorce, but you know, I could contact a place in Lansing, Illinois, which was, I mean, it was within the, 15 minutes of the plant. And, you know, I could go there to get simple stuff done, but if I had something that was going to be, you know, more involved, like a divorce, a contested divorce, then you have to... they would refer you to somebody. Well, they don't do those referrals now. It's really not much of a benefit. They could have kept the money for that and just put it in our paycheck, for crying out loud.
Right. And then
sounds like it.
Also, if I remember right, if you got referred to a lawyer, they would give you a discount for using their services for going to the GM legal service, right? The UAW legal service.
Right.
And that option, I think, is also gone.
But, you know, you got what you paid for anyway, so.
Yeah, you're right.
If you were getting the discount, you got the junior attorney in the firm, so.
yeah, or the aide. But yeah, I'd like to know what this really cost us out of the national contract. You know what I mean? What was the actual cost of this? What did it cost each member?
Well, and they add this benefit onto our taxable income at the end of the year too.
Absolutely, and that generates some income.
That's something.
It generates some tax income for Uncle Sam, but
yeah,
right.
Damn.
So,
boy, they really really changed that.
Couldn't get cost of living back, but we get you the a taxable item that most people won't use.
Yeah, well, you know, the tax cost of living too. You know, that'd be much more useful to have.
Absolutely. I'm sure they wouldn't get it to temporaries. They'd only give that to the seniority workers, right?
Right. Who knows? I don't know what the UAW would bargain for anymore.
Well, we know the temporaries don't get profit sharing.
No, and they're not eligible for bonuses either. Certain bonuses.
Let's see.
If I remember right.
Got something here. I had a temp tell me last week that he's not entitled to use legal services because he's a temp, pays his dues and the union, and gets his vote for broken promises and no services rendered.
Ooh.
And BS from our T-bone.
Wow. Well, that don't surprise me either. That's bad.
Yeah. Dues and he doesn't get the benefit. That's something.
Well, I'm going to be kind of watching this genetic bill thing because it's linked to this wellness program. And like I said, the UAW is endorsing, inside General Motors, they're endorsing Life Steps, which is a wellness program. So I'll offer you to come down with Don and I. Once a year, they'd usually do a fair. You come down there and they would poke your earlobe and take a drop of blood. They'd check your cholesterol and your sugar and, you know, stuff like that, let you know where he's at, and then tell you, you know, recommend that you should quit smoking or, you know, quit dipping or whatever else, and, you know, go from there. And they'd offer, you know, maybe programs for, like, losing weight, exercising, sleep, and then they'd follow up on that with you. Somebody would actually become like a coach, and they'd call you once a week, and they'd say, you know, how you doing? How's this going for you? How's that working out for you? If not, let's switch things up. And it was that kind of a style. And they're still doing that. So when I hear this, when I see this wellness program, you know what I mean? Red flags just jump up automatically at me.
Oh yeah, if they got that, if they got that drop of blood, they got your DNA. They can do genetic testing on that.
Well, what they do is they throw it away right then. I mean, they put that drop of blood in they check it in the slider, of course, and then they put it in some kind of a water to see if it flowed or if it went, the drop of blood went down to the bottom. And they did a couple quick tests, and then they put them right there in a big hazmat container. You dispose needles and stuff away. They throw away right there. I mean, you're watching your stuff while they're testing it, and they just, what? What are you laughing about?
T-Bone wrote, I've been bent over and checked on the backside. It was determined. Vaseline or KY is no longer needed. Vaseline or KY is no longer needed. So T-Bone brought it enough. Oh, man. I'm going to go with him.
Yeah, the prostate exam is coming next.
At a discounted rate. At a discounted rate.
Yeah, damn.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, that's a nice ending.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
What a way to bring up the rear, huh?
Yeah, you guys need to talk T-Bone into coming on, and I'm sure that'd be a lively conversation with him on here.
It always is. It always is. He's been poked and prodded a long time in that plant, I know. He sure has. But he usually gets back at the people pretty good, so. He doesn't take it bent over, I'll tell you that.
I'm sure his backside probably has a UAW stamp on it now, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So all the poking and prodding is approved.
Ah, 38 years as of Tuesday. Wow. 38 years. He's a GM gypsy, too. He's been all over the place. Janesville. Yeah. He's a good guy. Good worker. And fun to work.
Okay. Well, congratulations on 38 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a former Region 4 comrade.
You're here, as was I. So.
Yeah.
You were in Janesville, too?
Yes, sir. I was there for about 3 years.
Oh.
And it's too bad they couldn't have kept that facility open. It was a very clean facility. It was, for the most part, the union politics was up and up. That was surprising. But, unfortunately, it was a standalone plant, and the nearest GM facility to it was in Chicago, which was, you know, over 100 miles away, one way. So everything had to be trucked in and trucked out, so it wasn't cost-effective to keep the plant open.
What GM facility was in Chicago?
Parts. Used to have GM stamping. Used to be there. Now it's just an SPO.
Yeah, I had a cousin.
Special parts operations.
I had a cousin who was UAW rep in Chicago. He was a UAW rep.
Right.
And T-Bone Road on the Rock River, lots of cheese and beer. Local mobile town too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that it? That's the plant that's got the bar in the parking lot. Am I right about that?
That is correct. That is correct. They tried to buy that bar out many a time.
I bet they did. I bet they did. Why?
They had a T-shirt made up and it said, "A little taste of heaven on the edge of hell."
Yeah,
so.
That's a good logo. T-Bone Road, it was Z-A-C-C-O-S, Zaccos.
Yeah, that should have been the name of it. I only went there once. They quit making bar. They used to have bar burgers there. They didn't weigh them up. They just grab a handful of meat and pound it up and slap it on the grill. And they realized that they were losing money by selling food. So they just quit selling food. And people would call ahead and order their drinks ahead. And at breaks and lunch, there'd be a line out the front door going to the bar. You go in and do your two shots, have a beer, and out the door you went. And they had it worked out with management because they knew people were going to go there, and they couldn't stop them. So what they did was they said, look, if you go to the bar, you have to be able to do your job when you come back in. And people go out and
I heard all about
the lunch
bar.
And come back in.
I heard they had
fun stuff.
Oh, yeah. The last time that I knew of, they offered the bar owner $2 million cash, tax-free, and he wouldn't take it. He wouldn't take it.
Bet he wish he hadn't.
Well, tax-free would have wound him up in jail, but because you can believe the government would have found out about it.
Oh, absolutely. I think what it was is General Motors was willing to pay the taxes on that $2 million on his behalf.
Oh, okay.
So, he wasn't going to have to pay the taxes on it. But, it happened. But, like I said, Janesville's gone now. It's a shell. And they are going to, never revive it. From what I understand, there's holes in the ceiling now, and it's starting to dilapidate. So, but it was
we got holes in the ceiling in Chicago Assembly.
Yeah, there you go. So,
they can rehabilitate anything. They only have to rehabilitate it the whole way.
Right, right. Well,
just so the water doesn't leak on the parts.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
He's away from the paint department and in the parts at our plant. Yeah.
Yes. So, well, I guess we're about done with the show tonight.
That was a good time. Good talking to you guys tonight.
Yeah, it was nice.
Thanks for calling in.
T-Bone, thank you very much for your timely visit. And we're glad, we're all glad you don't have to use Vaseline or KY anymore.
All right, good night, guys.
Good night, Scott.
Good night, Scott.
That was a good one. T-Bone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Couldn't help but laugh out loud. Right. I was turned down my microphone. I read that.
Oh, my goodness.
Good guy. Well, we're about done tonight. So on behalf of Scott, Rebecca, Brian, myself, we want to thank you for listening and downloading the show. We'll be back next Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on the UAW Factory Whistle Show. Good night, Scott.
Good night, Don.